This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, hour number two. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It is also the third birthday for ESPN Plus. If you get ESPN Plus, you can see our magnificent studio. You can see this wonderful.
Wah.
Look at my car. I got my little cup.
Well done.
My
you tea see today. How we, you see how we rock.
They gave
man.
Us a nice gift. Like we had like a little package of stuff that we opened up today, and this is one of the gifts we got at ESPN Plus. But also on sleep. Plus, you can see our studio. You can see all the stuff we have here, and you can also see pictures of Bart Scott taking down Tom Brady, a little sack action. You got Yoda over my shoulder.
Plus, it's just dope, man. It's
3 years.
Program.
It's not just our show. It's all the shows we have on radio, plus a lot of exclusive content. 3 years of bringing you hat tricks, three-pointers, 30 for 30, so much more. Celebrate with us today. Stream your favorite live sports originals, documentaries on ESPN+. Plus. I mean, I usually just put it right on when I wake up and just let it roll. I have a smart TV in my gym. Put it right on ESPN Plus. What did I miss? I can catch it. 30 for 30s I want to see. I can catch it. All that stuff. So thanks again for joining us for the past 3 years. And for Bart and I, we've been on Plus since we started on National back in January 5th.
Yeah, man.
Man, it's already been that long. Now, if you don't have ESPN Plus, of course, it's not too late to join the party. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So, Bart, as we get into some NBA here for a minute, Malika Andrews put up a story yesterday that somebody sent me the link. And when I read it, I was like, that can't be true. Like, not already. So tonight, the Nets play the Timberwolves. And by the way, Minnesota's playing really well. All of a sudden,
D'Angelo
they got D'Angelo
back. Yeah. And they're the rookie of the year is
starting to play well. They just beat the Bulls. You know, playing well. And so the Nets are playing the Timberwolves tonight. The Nets, remember, they got smoked by the Lakers.
Right.
Kyrie got thrown out of the game. He and Dennis Schroeder really got into it. Schroeder. And so the team said that Kyrie Irving will be out tonight against Minnesota.
It's crazy.
And what is the reason? Personal reasons. Never know what's going on. We never know really what's happening. But of course, there's no James Harden.
Can you tell him no? Right?
Clearly, they can't tell him no.
I mean, what I'm saying is, at some point, they may have to tell him no. Like, listen, your job is to play basketball. We're paying you a lot of money. Are they playing at home? Is it a home game?
No. It's at Minnesota, so he's not making the trip to Minnesota.
So he's not making the trip.
So there you go.
But that's the thing.
Not many people really like to make that trip to Minnesota this time of year, although it's worse when it's January, February. But he's already, this is Malika has this in her story, he's already missed several games this season. So he's played in 38 of the 53 games so far this season. 4 was for injury maintenance. Okay. 2 weeks in January was the personal reasons.
Yeah.
During that time, he broke the league's coronavirus health and safety protocols, which then further delayed his return.
At the party.
Yeah, right. You saw that online. He was fined, of course, for breaking those rules. And then when he did come back, he just told reporters that he, quote, just needed a break. He then missed 3 games in late March, attending to what everybody said was a family matter. And it probably was, we don't know what it was. I don't want to speculate, but I've heard, some things that it was emotional. He has been playing so well, by the way.
That's why you put up with it, right? We said all the time.
He
production,
has been,
breeze, he's had,
but he's played with joy.
When he's locked in.
And then, it's just sort of, we don't know what it is.
Now listen.
And it leads to this. Are you playing because, are you not going because you just don't feel like going to Minnesota? I don't want to play. They're not a good team. I'm not going to waste my time going to Minnesota. I'm just going to stay back here and call it personal reasons. This is basically the Nets who have, basically, they have empowered him from day one.
To hire the coach. This is a partnership, right?
Got rid of the coach because he didn't like him. Didn't feel like they were whatever it was. He wanted his own coach. He got his own coach. But I'm going to balance it by saying this. How's it working out for the Nets? They have the best record or tied with the best record in the East.
Right.
All right. He got you Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he did.
Without Kyrie, there's no Kevin Durant.
And Kevin Durant got you.
And without Kevin Durant, there's no James Harden.
Exactly.
So when people criticize Kyrie, Don't criticize Kyrie. Kyrie's only doing what he wants to do because the team is empowering him and allowing it to happen. Yeah, it's fine. There is no accountability for Kyrie because when Kyrie does play, he normally, he generally the season plays magnificently.
See, but
they are winning at a high level. And, oh, by the way, did you forget what I said? He got you Kevin Durant. Yeah. But without him, there's no Kevin Durant. So I don't know how – I've seen people want to take shots at Kyrie. I don't – how can you when it's the team that's allowing it and then the team says, but look what we got. We got this for it.
It better work. It better work. And when I say it better work, they better win a championship this year. Remember what the narrative was coming out of the bubble. Kawhi gets to do what he wants to do. Kawhi's this. Kawhi gets that.
Yeah, but that causes problems. You're right.
That causes problems. Not maybe with the top three because the top three gets to do whatever they want to do. But what about those role players that you depend on, right? Because him not showing up makes it harder for them. And you can say whatever you want to say. Oh, that's an opportunity for them to shine. Listen, you're asking Kevin Durant, fresh off an injury, to carry this team. And he may say, okay, well, James carried the team or Kyrie carried the team, and I've been out, so it's my time to carry the team. But what if him trying to carry the team forces him to do more than he's ready to do, his body-wise is ready to do, and he pulls that hamstring or he pops that hamstring because he's playing longer minutes, right? Then what? Because without Kevin Durant, you may not win a championship.
Let me ask you this. If you were the Nets, would you take this risk? Is it worth it to you?
If I'm Steve
Nash, is it worth it to deal with this and go? All right, look. When you want to play, play.
No.
When you don't, don't. But when we get to the playoffs, of course, everybody's expecting him to be there every night, and he probably will be.
But
would you put up with this because of again? What's your alternative? You would be a franchise that for most of its existence,
yes,
was ignored. Overshadowed in its own market, completely ignored.
But
now you're not. Now you're one of the hottest franchises in the league. Isn't this worth it to say, you know what?
If this is
what it costs us.
It's only worth it if you win, Alan. Because if you don't win.
No, but it's a risk. You're right.
Yeah, it is.
You're right. It's only worth it.
So
but if you don't try it, you'll never know if it was worth it, right?
That's true.
This is a gamble, but it's a pretty calculated risk.
When you're dealing with somebody that seems to have emotional issues, right? You have to walk that fine line, but at some point you have to come to terms with this is how it has to be, right?
We'll do that in mid-May when the playoffs begin.
Yeah, we can't have this randomness, right? Because like what happens is it's the signal that it's sending to everybody else, right? Because we can't win it just with you three. We got to fill five, right? And you're putting more mileage on other people. And Steve Nash is maybe the only person with the resume, with the cachet, to pull him to the side, man, like, listen, I need you to be more of a leader. Like, we understand that's not in your nature. You think you're leading, right? But we need you to – who's the leader of this team? Who's the leader? Like, don't
you
tell
mean
me
mean
who's
voice?
The best. Yeah, don't tell me who's the best
who's
player.
Who's the voice?
Yeah, don't tell me DeAndre Jordan.
No, I don't know. It's a great question, but do you need somebody to when you have all this talent?
You
like,
do.
Like, it just varies. James Harden is the leader on the court when it comes to I have the basketball and I control the game when he plays. He's the leader on the court. Kevin Durant is the leader as the scorer because he's great at it. Kyrie Irving is also a leader as a scorer, but he doesn't want the pressure of being a leader because for him, I just want to play. That's why off the ball seems perfect for him.
Leaders got to have to lead an example. So he doesn't leave a great example. So like James Harden has to be the leader because he's the guy that's trying to fight through hamstring issues. He's the guy that shows up. He doesn't do workload management. We hear about James Harden, his work ethic. Whatever you thought about him before you got here or why he got here, he's the guy that shows up and plays all the time. He doesn't pull that Kawhi Leonard, oh, I need a rest day or I got this day. They had to drag him off of the court. But, you know, with that being said, you know, they're tied, but they're still behind. You know, they're second in the East. Like, if you're going to do it the right way. Win the East, you know, make sure you do everything that a team with this caliber of talent is supposed to do, right? Because, you know, you need to set the precedent about being able to be available, be able to, you know, perform at a high level. Listen, we won't judge this team into the postseason. And he better be right. His mind better be right. Whatever issues that he has, I don't know if it's a family issue for real and he's dealing with things and he's trying to go back and say, hey, y'all should be able to beat Minnesota. Let me tend to what's going on because things have changed. But you can't yo-yo yourself in and out of the lineup. You know, we're talking about trying to get chemistry with each other and, you know, Kevin Durant's back and, you know, they're not playing with each other. That's important.
Now, again, there could be various reasons – that he doesn't want to go to Minnesota. There could be various reasons why he doesn't want to play tonight. They play, I think, don't they play the Sixers on Wednesday, I believe, right? That's a big game. I don't know. But that keeps us questioning, keeps us wondering, and he doesn't feel that it's necessary to tell us. Maybe he will when he returns. Maybe he'll explain it then. Who knows? But I'm not holding any of this. When people want to criticize him, he's doing as he pleases because the franchise is letting it go with no one calling him out, no one saying, you've got to be there for your team, that we should be their priority. And he's letting you know that, no, basketball has a place in my life. It's just not always going to be first in my life. And he's made that clear, and they've said, okay, we'll live with that. And although it's not, it's apples and oranges, but in a way it's similar.
I get it.
You had Dennis Rodman, and Phil Jackson lived with it.
Yeah.
Because you knew when he played, he gave you an element that made you a great team. Now, you also had that – but what, remember from the documentary?
Yeah.
When he had to get away, and they chipped for 3 days, went to Vegas. You didn't hear from him. They had to go find him and bring him back. But you just had to – you just knew that's what comes – sometimes with some players, they're so good that you just live with that because you know when it matters.
Production breeds tolerance. I get it.
Right. And so I do think, again, and don't tell me I did not compare their case. They're two different people, two different situations. But in a way, it's a similar idea, a similar thought process.
Yeah. Some people call it free spirits.
If this is what we got to put up with, if we have to be okay with the fact that one of our main players is going to come and go, not play when he wants to, play when he wants to, and live to a different standard than the rest of us have to live, we all agree we're okay with it, and you go around the room. We all good with this because we know what he means to us when he does play,
but
then we just go ahead and do it. And I just think that's what they are.
But we've
got to stop treating Kyrie as if he's supposed to be somebody who follows the rules like everybody else. That's not who he is. And as long as it's a franchise that is willing to let him do that,
right.
What are we going to say other than, okay, he's taking tonight off. Leave it at that.
First thing that happens if they lose or they get bounced early, right, if they have some type of matchup early and they get bounced, you know, let's say the Bucks bounce them or something like that because they got chemistry with each other, they're getting hot, the first thing is going to be said is like, listen, man, the team is fragmented because Kyrie gets to do what he wants. The same thing, none of those stories come out about Kawhi Leonard if they win the championship.
Right.
All those stories come out about them because after the fact that everybody wants to say, what contributed to us getting bounced early? Oh, man, when Kawhi gets to do whatever he wants to do, you know, it's whack.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If I'm a team playing the Nets, though, in the playoffs, I do think you've got to make sure that it's not just a physical series. It's probably also one where you challenge them mentally.
Yeah.
You have to challenge them mentally. You got to see how much you can get under his skin because talent wise, they're too overwhelming for you to just beat if you just go X's and O's.
Schroeder got underneath his skin.
Yeah, and you saw what happened certainly from
Schroeder,
there.
I know Schroeder.
I just want a fair chance, man.
Yeah, that's all we want. So we'll
he apparently doesn't care about rings. So you got one guy don't care about basketball, and the other guy don't care about rings.
Right.
What the hell are we doing? What did I sign up for? I'm the only one without one. I came here to get one. You better care about rings, Kevin.
All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and we're joined now by Matt Miller on the Goodyear Hotline, somebody that cares a lot about the NFL draft. And Matt, how you doing?
Doing well.
I know you're busy today, a little busy Sports man. Center hit, but we were saying earlier, and then I had to, of course, qualify the fact that you are coming on the show, so, you know, there's certain people we can trust. After hearing what Randy Mueller said about Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, I know I just basically said, okay, I'm done. I don't trust anything I hear from here on in. All the experts are just saying things that are just making me crazy and more confused, and maybe it's just smokescreen season. Matt, you've been studying the draft for many years. You've been studying this one, obviously, very closely. When you hear that Zach Wilson is more prepared for the NFL than Trevor Lawrence, what is your reaction?
I disagree strongly. my reaction
Take
was not radio appropriate. Yeah.
You're right.
Zach Wilson is such a very natural thrower, right? He is. He's got an electric arm, big arm. But he's doing that against, like, San Diego State and, you know, University of North Alabama or, you know, Boise State. He's not doing this against top-tier teams. And so I get, like, we all love that shiny new toy, right? Everybody loves what's new, and that's Zach Wilson. Let's not forget that Trevor Lawrence is 6'6" compared to Zach Wilson's 6'3". He's going to fill out. He's going to be 245 pounds. He's a great athlete. He has a monster arm. Oh, and by the way, who did he play in his last game? Ohio State. Who did he play last year? Alabama. Mm-hmm. He's not beating up on Western Kentucky and Texas State. And I don't know how you can look at the Clemson offense that produced Deshaun Watson, the same offense, and say, you know what? That BYU kid who just rolls around and throws the ball as far as he can is more NFL ready. Like, I understand, like, we're running out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. I just don't agree with that.
Yeah, we really are. Now, when you think about, you know, to me, the draft starts at four. And I'm really trying to figure out at four, what is Atlanta thinking? Do they think that they need to get an heir apparent or a successor to Matty Ice, or do they want to ride it out a couple more years and maybe get them something to get them over the hump? Because they have tremendous talent. What are you hearing about, you know, that pick at four where the draft starts?
Yeah, Bart, I think that is – I was just on SportsCenter right before I came on with you guys and we were talking about that. So it's tough because there's not a clear, line of information right now. It's a new general manager, Terry Fontenot, new head coach, Arthur Smith, a first-time GM, also a first-time head coach, right? So there's not that situation where you can be like, oh, okay, we kind of know what these guys are doing. So I think a lot of this will come down from ownership. Does Arthur Blank believe that Matt Ryan has 5 to 6 more years? Does he believe that he can still be the guy? If so, then you probably want to go to someone like a Kyle Pitts who can open up your offense, can extend your winning window. I think that's the direction you probably go if you believe Matt Ryan can keep playing. But that is a question that, like, we truly don't know the answer to them. So I'm with you. I think the draft starts at four. And I know there's been a lot of people say quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. The thing I look at is we have to remember that Atlanta a week ago, Adam Schefter saying and Chris Mortensen are saying Atlanta is willing to move that pick. I don't know that you're willing to move that pick if you're locked in on a quarterback.
Matt Miller joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN NFL draft analyst. So I love the eye roll I get, Matt, and I'm sure you've probably seen it too from the pros, right? So Bart does it. Chris Candy has done it. When you say 49ers and Mac Jones, I got Jeff Darlington last week when I said to him, like, he just kept saying him and he, and I was like, you're referring to Mac Jones, right? And he was like, yeah. Like, he didn't even himself. He can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Convince me of why I'm supposed to believe that's really what they traded up to do at was it number three? Is that what they really traded up to do? Is Mac Jones from Alabama?
Sounds like it. I can't convince you of it. I can't convince myself.
See, you can't convince. All right, good. I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the deal. My big board, Mac Jones is the number 27 overall player.
Wow.
So that's a discrepancy, right? Justin Fields sitting there right near the top at number 6 overall, right? I mean, and he's the number 2 quarterback for me. So it's hard to justify what we are all hearing. And, like, I can't stress that enough. Everyone is hearing it. Todd's mock draft came out. Guess who was at 3? Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Mel's mock draft comes out tomorrow. I'm willing to put some money on the fact that Mac Jones is going to be at number 3. Adam Schefter is saying Mac Jones will be the pick. Jeff Darlington's saying Mac Jones will be the pick. Like, at some point, if everybody's saying the same thing, it might be time for, like, and Niner fans do not want to believe this, by the way. Like,
would you?
They do not want to deal with this, right? So I think that there's it's very hard to justify it. And what it really comes down to, Kyle Shanahan's a very, very good coach. But it comes down to hubris of saying, you know what? My scheme is good enough. I don't need a quarterback who can run a 4-4 like Justin Fields. I don't need a quarterback with a great deep ball like Trey Lance.
Why give up 1,000 first-round draft picks?
All right.
I know we're up against it,
Bart's
man. I just got one last question because I always look at who can be the hidden gem. You know, everybody's talking about Mac Jones, but, you know, you look at what Kyle Trask has done. You know, he's 23 years old, so he's a mature football player coming in as a rookie, but he threw for 4,200 yards. And, you know, you look at the measurables, he's everything that you would want in a big pocket quarterback, 6'5", 240 pounds, you know, physically able to handle the NFL. You know, what is the scouting report on him, and could potentially he be somebody that they want to move up with if you think about, you know, losing maybe, you know, out on the top four?
Yeah, and I like Kyle Trask. He's a player that I have talked about all through the season. I was saying he's built like Josh Allen with that big, sturdy base. Now, he's not as athletic, and his arm's not as strong. But when you just see him on the hoof, he's big, he's strong. And you're right, when the pocket's clean, he's beautiful throwing the ball. Great placement, great velocity. He's just not the best athlete. He doesn't have the biggest arm, and he doesn't move that well when pressured. But He's a quick processor. He sees the whole field. He throws to the whole field. His field vision is very developed. He gets to third, fourth reads consistently. Kyle Trask, like 5 years ago, would have been a top 10 pick. So it's just this belief now. And I understand it. Like, people want mobility at the quarterback position. But here we are talking about Mac Jones going third. Mm-hmm. So it is very hard to rectify some of those things.
Matt, we appreciate the honesty, of course, at this time of year. We're all trying to figure out what's real and what's, as Bart would say, BS. His initials, of course. Nothing more than that. Matt, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Matt Miller again at NFL Draft Scout. And only one of the few people that I'll trust the opinion. But you heard him even say the same thing, Bart, right? Like, I don't know. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know if I believe it, but that's what I'm hearing. That certainly is what's going on. Coming up next as we get to audio files, by the way, we'll have an exclusive forecast expert. Join us to
explain.
Scott,
the Doppler, what is it now? Doppler 8000?
It might be Doppler. It could be Doppler. But whatever it is, the Mets didn't have it yesterday, and it might have cost them a start from one of their players who is now not happy. And it's as the further away the Mets try to get from being Metsy, the closer they continue to be to being Metsy. All that's coming up. Audio files, your calls as well. 888-SAY-ESPN. But first, Bart has this from ZipRecruiter.
Yeah, speaking of the Mets, good news for baseball fans. You will be allowed to attend games this season where you sit in pods with your group. And businesses everywhere are making the gradual shift towards normalcy, which means more hiring. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter matchmaking technology finds you the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free only at ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. B-A-R-T. Oh, I thought I saw a raindrop. No, that's just a Knicks roof leaking, Alan.
Really?
Back after this.
Really?
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Rams, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Offering coverage options as unique as your business, Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. We're going to do something special in audio files today because it was so much that happened over the weekend and some things that were a bit confusing and that we need a professional's help. We need a professional's assistant in this. So just understand that when we begin audio files, normally we play cuts of audio, which we will do, but rarely do we do live audio. But we will do that in this segment that we call audio files.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So we will go to a good friend of the show, someone that is well-known in the New York area. He is Lee Goldberg. He is WABC-TV's meteorologist. And for our show's purposes, he's going to be our exclusive forecast expert. Why? Because that's what the Mets claim they used when they decided to go ahead and play that game yesterday that lasted all about maybe 10 minutes. So, Lee, I know you were at the Masters, actually. You were in Augusta yesterday?
I was. Right. Man, was it exquisite. Yeah. What a day.
No, we will get to that in a moment. But so you weren't in New York to deal with the weather like you normally would do, but Have you ever been consulted, like either by a baseball team or any league or anything like that in New York about whether or not should we play or what's the weather look like? Like, what would the Mets do in this scenario? Would they be talking to someone like you, or is there somebody else?
They typically, and I don't know what the Mets specifically do, typically the sports teams will consult with the National Weather Service based in Brookhaven. They may have a private forecasting firm that they use. The exclusive weather expert kind of concerns me a little bit. I don't know if that's the Mets weather app, but I don't know who they looked at yesterday, because it started raining at 9:30 in the morning at Citi Field. And I do understand the whole it was going to be light rain and mist. But the problem was it already laid down the wet foundation, and it really wasn't going to stop or let up until about 6 or 7 in the evening. So I'm surprised that they started.
Yeah, everybody was surprised, including people that went to the game, these poor people that went to the game. And, you know, they were like, I guess, a picture of Lindor, who was like literally in a puddle out on the field. And, you know, like it just didn't feel like it made sense. So the Mets went ahead and did that. And that's what Luis Rojas, the manager, said, that they have an exclusive forecast expert who told them that it was okay to go ahead. So we thought we would get a forecast expert like yourself and see if we can get an explanation on it. All right, before we go, though, because you were at Augusta, there was some weather Saturday that might have actually played a part in Matsuyama's success, because on Saturday he was not playing well. Then they had the long delay because of weather. Did it soften up the greens? Did it soften up the course that allowed him to have that big day on Saturday that set the course for him to win his first Masters?
You know, it's interesting, because he didn't play his best yesterday, and I thought things were moving pretty quickly on the course yesterday, but the conditions were absolutely pristine. I mean, it was sunny, it was dry, there was a little bit of a breeze, but it was the most stunning day to finish up the tournament. So I think that allowed, I mean, people were definitely up and down yesterday. So I think the course played fairly tough, and the final scores certainly weren't the, like, you know, 20 unders of the fall. So I think it played tough, but, you know, the conditions were great, and he just had enough of a buffer going in. But what a majestic place that is down there. I've never been, and just more incredible than people even describe.
I was going to ask you if it's your first time, because, yeah, it looked beautiful, and obviously we missed it last year in the spring. We had it in the fall, so it was a different look. But to see it, it's like you feel like, okay, spring is now officially sprung. Before I let you go, though, Michael Collins, who's our resident ESPN caddy, who's a great personality, he told us a story about how when you're on the course, you never see a squirrel, ever. Like, nowhere do you see a squirrel. And he told the story about how, for some reason, you see him off the course. But on the course, you never see a squirrel. So I got to ask you, do you recall seeing a squirrel at all?
I do not think they're issued passes to go around. No, there's no question about it. Now, that course, it's seriously, it's like Main Street on Disney. It's really like you enter a total movie scene there. And it's so vast. All the vistas are incredible. And even with all those people there, they're just moments where it's just incredibly serene. So, the squirrels are not welcome.
Lee, you're always welcome on this show, as you know. Thank you so much for a few minutes and for being our exclusive forecast expert.
Exclusive.
Thanks so much. Anytime.
All right. All the best. Lee Goldberg again. WABC-TV here in New York City, meteorologist who's an avid sports fan, and we love having him on.
Maybe the Mets need to switch it up and hire Lee. Right? I don't know what's going on.
They probably
got that advice.
Whoever their expert is not an expert.
I had an issue with Stroman, though. I don't.
Well, here's a deeper into the story now. For those who are just trying to figure this out outside of the New York area, it's a big controversy because – so it was pouring raining yesterday. The Mets had a 1:10 p.m. local time start at Citi Field, and Marcus Stroman, one of their pitchers, was starting
second
the game.
In the rotation.
Don Mattingly, the manager of the Marlins, said, "Well, you know, I don't know about this weather." So he went with an opener, figuring that if we don't finish the game, I didn't burn out one of my starters.
Right.
So what did Stroman throw? About 9 pitches? Like he faced 2 batters,
right?
And then ended up having 2 pitches against the next batter. And then that's when the home plate umpire stepped in and said, "All right, the heavens have opened up. Enough's enough."
Right.
Stroman was livid after the game. He went to Twitter saying the game should never have been played.
He was
annoyed, and then also pointed out Lindor was standing in a puddle. Aguilar couldn't hold his bat. I want to see everybody healthy for a full season. Like, he was not happy about it at all. And the worst part of it is not only are they going to now play the game August 31st.
Okay.
I mean, Zach Wilson's already going to be in the preseason with the Jets by the time they finish this game. A, why even finish the game? Why not just, all right, this game never happened. We'll do it some other time. That's number one. But then it's Stroman now. You can't use him for 5 days. He already had a start.
Excuse me?
I know you don't understand.
Like, excuse me? Like, really? 9 pitches?
So
now, bro, 9 pitches? Stop it. Come on, man. Stop it. Okay, we'll subtract
7 minutes of baseball.
Bro, we will subtract the 9 from what your daily total is. If you're stressed out for, like, if you're clear for 70, 80, we'll stop you at 71. Are you kidding me? This dude threw 9 pitches. Is that a bullpen session? No.
I don't know what that is, but
what is 9 pitches?
Rojas lets us know that when we will see Stroman again after this very brief outing.
Come on, man.
Now, we don't know that. You know, he came out, you know, ready. We, you know, burn him today. We don't have to come back out and play the game and go with our relievers. We should, you know, we were ready if it was the case. But unfortunately, you know, you never want to do that to Stroh. You know, the decision was made because we felt that we were going to go through and play the game and we were going to be able to use Stroh the distance. So, but we'll see in the next few days how his response whether it's to come back early or do his 5-day thing. So, you know, we'll definitely reassess with that.
Bro,
we'll see how he responds. Bro, he did leave it open though that maybe he could, you know, come back sooner than the 5-day.
Bro, this is like me going out like in the first quarter and I do one series and I'm like, coach, I can't practice tomorrow, man. I can't, man. We had a scrimmage and I did nine snaps.
There is something about pitchers that just doesn't make sense to the regular people.
9 pitches. 9. Not 29. Not 39. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And like, you mean I didn't even clear both my whole hands. I still got a damn thumb.
We got to get one more topic in here, and that is Alex Rodriguez is part of an ownership group. Remember, he tried to buy the Mets.
Bought the Rays.
Now he's part of an ownership group that is finalizing a deal, according to Woj, to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx, obviously the NBA and WNBA teams, for about $1.5 billion. So Amber Wilson, who's a host here at ESPN Radio at times, and also 790 The Ticket down in Miami, talked about the impact of Alex Rodriguez owning an NBA team.
I think it's really cool. I like owners being visible, recognizable, former athletes. I think all of that's fun. I think it's kind of fun that he comes from a different sport in a different world. But of course, we all know A-Rod, and he's somebody who's very much out there. And I would assume as an owner going to be somewhat accessible in that regard. I think it's fun. I think it's fun for fans and for NBA fans.
He clearly wants to be an owner of a team. This is a way to get into one, and he's going to do that.
Why not buy the Rays, though?
He will not be an owner until he and his the billionaire Mark Lohr that he's buying the team with will not take over until 2023. So there'll be a bit of a process in the meantime. We'll call Anthony Towns, still be on the Timberwolves when he takes over. That remains to be seen. All right, that's audio files.
A-Rod ain't training nobody. We don't want you nowhere near the strength program, bro. We good over here.
It's Barton Hahn. We're brought to you by My Computer Career. Training for a better life. So
somebody
we'll finish
had to
up.
Say it. Somebody had to say it.
Yeah, yeah. And we all know you would be the guy to do it. So we'll finish up with some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Buffet is open. Do you have anything here? No, you don't. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and happy birthday, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bart's face right now.
What you really want from a Cisco?
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott.
Hey, yo!
ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, Bart. We are also brought to you by Mortal Kombat.
Get over here. Finish him.
See it in theaters and on HBO Max. April 23rd. They're going to make you want it. They make you want it.
Flawless.
Rated R.
Flawless read.
See how I did that? Victory.
Oh, flawless read.
Yeah,
flawless see how read. I did that? Wordplay, son.
I did that. I like that. I'm looking forward to that, man. You want to do like a show like where we go watch it together?
We
show
could,
watch party?
We could. have ESPN buy all the tickets in the theater.
I like that.
Small one. Yeah. Only a couple people.
Kind of feel like that's a movie I need to see in a theater. I have been in a theater in a bit.
Yeah, it's fun.
A huge theater, surround sound the whole night.
Yeah, I went to a theater to see Kong Godzilla.
You did?
Yep.
Was it worth it?
It was.
I think
because of the effects and the noise and the vibrations. That's
yeah, movies like that, you've got to have it all. I need the whole thing. Like, I can't,
the whole aesthetic.
Movies like that, you got to see in the theater. For sure. So maybe we can work that out. We got till the 23rd to figure it out.
They don't mind giving us free tickets. They charge you $75,000 for concession and food.
right, for the popcorn and Reese's.
Yeah.
Popcorn and Reese's, by the way, go together right? Like that's the perfect combination. Yeah. Popcorn and Reese's.
How about I tell ESPN?
Yeah.
You get me a gift card for my food. I'll buy a ticket, bro.
Right. We just need the food stipend. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So Sam Darnold is talking with the media in Carolina right now, talking about how he's excited for the fresh start, but it was tough when he heard the news about the trade. He felt like the timing just, for him and the Jets, it didn't work out. He thought he'd be with the Jets for 20 years and win Super Bowls. Didn't work out. So we'll see if things happen there. We'll get more with you tomorrow and tomorrow's show and more reaction as well. But let's get a few calls before we call it a day. And we go with Mustafa in New Jersey. Mustafa, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Alan?
How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, Bart? Thanks for having me. Hey, I want to talk about my boy RJ, man. This dude's been playing hot, looking great from three, closing out games. I'm just so happy with how this dude's developed in his second year. Let me know what you guys think, man.
Mustafa, he's becoming what you need, what the Knicks needed him to become, which is a foundational piece. You didn't get the star talent types in Zion or Ja at the top of the draft, but you still got a guy that can be a 15-year player and be part of a renaissance of a franchise that desperately needs it. And the way he's playing lately, the ice water in his veins, thank you, Anthony Edwards, for calling him out. He's shooting over 41% over the last 40-plus games. Talk about his shooting, he's doing it. Clutch shots like he made last night, clutch free throws he made on Friday night as well to help win games. This guy's about winning. He's a winner, and that's the best compliment you can give a young player who, by the way, Bart, he's only 20 years old.
I only talk about people in the top 25 under 25, so I don't know. He has five more years to get there. When I look at him, man, I look at a grown man. Even though he's young, he's a grown man. You look at him shoulders, he coming in that mud like Buck Williams. You know what I mean? All he misses is the chest hair. All he needs is the chest hair.
Imagine, though, he's 20. Imagine when he gets his man strength.
Imagine when he start working out and lean out and get more cut. Like, guys, people talk about Zion, how people bounce off of him.
Yeah.
People bounce off of R.J. Barrett, too. And if he gets a little bit more explosive.
He's not as explosive, but that's not who he is.
But you can work on that.
He don't have to be.
He creates his separation with the big old shoulders,
right,
man. Listen, you look at him, you look at Dwight Howard. He got some Dwight Howard big, meaty shoulders, man. Dude's going to be bouncing off of him. He's going to be a problem. Because once he gets you on that body, it ain't nothing you can do. It ain't nothing you can do but hold on for the ride.
And Julius Randle's starting to trust him by passing him the basketball in clutch moments.
Julius Randle got a new hairstyle, too. And I remember in your pregame, you was talking about how they win when
you
got the
watching.
Hairstyle.
At least you're watching. J-Dub's not watching.
Of course I'm going to support my boy.
Thank you, man. 22 and 17 when he's got the braids now. If you knew that, if I went up to you and said to you, Bart, will you wear your hair this way, the team wins more? Would you like, I'm going to wear my hair like that every game?
Yeah, yo, somebody, I don't care if you put it in the ponytail. You better do something. You ain't got the time to always sit down there for 20 seconds, two hours to get your hair done. You better put a braid on the side. Don't be coming around here with the Ben Wallace fro. You got to braid that up, son. Looking like the Boondocks.
No doubt about it. All right, so happy birthday to ESPN Plus.
Happy
if you don't have it, sign up now,
ESPNplus.com.
Bart and I will see you tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.